Well, external relations as well is, but you wouldn't have this problem. It's this lovely room, which other people are quite envious. You know, will we hire it out to other people, or is it only for our use? If other people come in, can we make a charge for it? And you know, they're all, really the feeling is probably now this is ours for us to use, sort of thing. It's got to be somebody here with a responsibility who belongs here rather than a completely outside group. But that's one of the things we're going to discuss at the next general meeting, I think.
Also, I think, you know, expanding on that, and I'm perhaps even disagreeing a little bit, and this is what will come out in
yeah,
the discussion,
that's right, I know.
Is that we started with a vision of developing co-housing, like you guys. You've kind of got some kind of broader agenda also, and whether you could have a policy that is around, you know, lending it out or lending it out at a charge to groups that have, you know, a values alignment, not necessarily as a financial money-making thing. So that'll be all part of that conversation. And but then internally, you've got people who are worried about security and noise, and you know, how do you limit your policy so that you're not offending those people? So yeah, there's going to be a bit to it. But we've run into all of those issues separately by not having a policy. Mm. So you're better to have a policy
exactly.
that at least creates
exactly.
an expectation.
Mm. And
you kind of go, this is the policy. Sorry.
Yeah, because we live in fairly close spaces.
We do,
and that's it's important, isn't it? To stress that if somebody does make a noise, everybody will hear it.
Yeah.
We wrote lots and lots of policies before we moved
here. Yeah, we spent all the time.
And we're now saying, we wrote a policy for this. What does it say?
Quite light on, really, wasn't it?
Pet policy is being rewritten because no one's really acknowledged it, so it's got to be rewritten now and re-established.
There's one we haven't got. Oh, I think the external relations one we haven't got. We've got to...
Yeah, they're working on that.
Right, yes.
Now.
We're working on now.
That's at the next community meeting.
Yes, and there was something else recently that came up. We might have to have a balcony policy, mightn't we?
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
There's certainly been work on trying to reduce waste.
On what, sorry?
Trying to reduce waste.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But that's a hard one.
It is.
It encroaches on people's personal...
Private space.
...habits, indeed. And their expectations of you know, what the future might hold, and it might be very different to others. Mm. It's a fascinating topic to have, of how to reduce our very many different waste streams, and of course the landfill and the hard rubbish, but also just when you're in the shop, how to think about, do I really need this? And having that conversation. I mean, we haven't really had that conversation yet.
No, but it's been really interesting to lean into it.
Yes.
And to learn
yeah.
from others. And I, as someone who buys a lot of food for the shared meals, I have to remember that although those potatoes are really cheap, they do come in a plastic bag.
Uh-huh.
So do I weigh that up with going up to the market yeah. and buying 5 kilos of potatoes using my string bag?
Yes.
And it's about convenience and have I got the energy? And but it's important and it's something that I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to lean into.
Mm. We have done a waste audit. And it revealed that, you know, some people aren't doing even kitchen composting, or, you know, not doing a baseline. So
they're not sorting.
Yeah, so there's a baseline improvement, and then there's a stretch, you know, stretch targets. And we'd love to be zero waste eventually, though. So, they're all courageous conversations about really seemingly insignificant things, but they're all actually really important. And they do kind of bind you.
They
you know?
Do. Yeah. They
and
do.
It's learning how to have those conversations respectfully and harmoniously, so that you're all kind of moving in the same direction together.
And one of the funny things, in a lot of ways, is the number of things that get left in the laundry that people don't collect. And so,
communal laundries.
They sat there for ages and ages. And then, you know, we put up the notice saying, you know, this is your last chance. Please keep them before such and such a date, or they'll, you know, they'll go to other people or the op shop eventually. And then, you know, so okay, free for all. That was last week, I think, or the week before. and I've taken the rest down. And still got a pile to go to the op shop and some rags and things to go as well.
Joe, I came out with a couple of lovely unmarked T-shirts that will go to Extinction Rebellion to get marked.
Oh, and I've got some towels for Permacroft as well, left over, because I think you want...
Thank you.
So we try and find good homes for things.
Yeah.
But talking of policies, we did have a good policy that worked, and we had pretty well finished it before we moved in, which was the conflict resolution policy.
Yes,
yes, indeed.
And that was
yes.
so good to have that there.
Yeah.
Because we did have a few conflicts,
yeah.
and we had the policy, and we had went through the steps, and it all got resolved. A couple of things got resolved according to the policy, and it worked.
That's essential, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's so easy to go to someone and say, hey, this is what the policy says. Mm. So you're not personally attacking them, you're just having that conversation.
Mm.
And that worked really well.
Mm. Yeah, and one of the rules that where you do have policy rule, whatever, is that you're not allowed to make money out of the communal space. So people can't do something and ask people to come in and pay. Yeah. Essentially,
oh, right.
you can. I mean, they can pay for if like you buy the food or you or something like that.
Yeah.
But not you know, can't operate a business.
No. What if it was a charitable event?
Charitable event.
Yes, to raise money for somebody else.
That could happen.
You can do that.
If it's for some sort of good cause. We just have a booking system in our community room, and can sometimes have bands and people coming or whatever, but
you could have a party.
We do. We've actually had funerals.
Like, yes.
We've
more than a bit of life.
Indeed.
Two losses since in the short time that we've been here. And they were very sad for the community, but they were really well handled.
And that's a beautiful thing.
We had a community kind of grieving. We really went through a process together because it was so early. Was really kind of strange, but there was a process that brought us all together and took us through it and delivered us out the other side. And it was very beautiful. It was very tastefully done, sensitively done, and for the families, providing support. In COVID, providing support for, you know, meals at doors for people suffering COVID. There's so many benefits.
That's what a community is.
It really is. It's demonstrated every day.
I've got to go in for a hip operation soon. I have my showers over my bath. I will not be able to get in there, but I know there'll be other places I can go and have a shower.
Yes.
I've already booked one.
Gorgeous. And on that note, we were actually talking just today. We have a spare room, and I don't know how much you are aware, and you people listening, that some of our common spaces weren't finished. We took them as empty shells due to being built through COVID and what they call value managing, isn't it? In other words, cutting out. And one of the things, we have a room that will be two guest rooms and a bathroom, but that's yet to completely be financed. And then we have a bathroom that a number of us have decided we don't need a bath in our apartment if we're going to have a common bathroom. Bathhouse.
But we haven't got it yet.
But we don't have it yet.
So we're all unclean.
We have our showers, but we don't have our baths.
Yeah.
But these are things we need to find finance in order to finish.
Yeah.
So, you know,
one
do
successful
we...
round of...
Yeah.
So we've got it. We've completed a multi-purpose room, and that's used for... It's going to be used for film night tonight. It's used for yoga every day. It's used for kids' play and... sitting meetings, it really does get good use, but so only just kind of getting on top of all our mortgages, we were fundraising again, and so that's been kind of, you know, very positive and affirming that people are willing to dig deep again, and that might happen a few times to complete the building over time. But luckily we move pretty slow on the actual getting it done, so it allows people to save again.
And it's good to really decide what we want in those spaces.
Yeah,
true.
And you're interested in working between co-housing groups, because Melbourne's got our original co-housing community is up to the north of us, Murrindarka, which is a community housing. Yes. So and we used to go up there and have meals. And I lived in that area, and I actually was involved in trying to get a Banyule co-housing going, which we failed to do, so which is for long, complicated reasons, but I'm here now. And so we learnt a certain amount from them. We still haven't had them over for partly. But I'm hearing that they're struggling now one way and another, because they're a sort of rental people, and some of their key people have moved on from there for various reasons. And we're sort of, because kind of in touch with Co-Housing Australia as well, and they're coming out quite soon. I'm giving a talk to the, I am available on a panel to talk with another group up in Eltham, who Brougham Street. There's a fantastic site they've got, which is an old retail nursery, which has got a heritage building on it, and they want to learn from us, particularly about sociocracy and things. There was, this cooperative, cooperation between our groups. And there's another one down Frankston Way, I think, a small sort of community. I'm not sure what's going on there.
And we weren't always sociocracy. I should say we had probably 14 years of consensus decision making. That was another one of the really key policies that worked for us and kept us united. So consensus whereby you have to... It was modified consensus whereby you have to get everyone's agreement for a policy to pass and be enacted. And if it fails to do that twice, two rounds, it'll move to a majority. But we've only ever had to move once to a majority in probably, 50, 60 major decision processes. So that was definitely a superpower to... everyone knew that there was a process that was going to deliver the outcome that we needed. And as long as they engaged with it appropriately, we all learnt how to behave within that system. And it was really, really effective, yeah.
Just a quick question: How do you pay for things like electricity, the use of the common room?
We don't know.
Owners' corporation.
It's a bit complicated. The owners' corporation, which covers all six of these Nightingale buildings. I think the builders haven't always put the meters in the right places, and the OC1, which covers that now, have got an electrical subcommittee trying to work out some of the things that hasn't...
Not quite right,
yeah,
I don't think.
It wasn't as promised, really.
And it's fairly horrendous for those who are trying to deal with it.
You're still connected, so it's working.
Yeah, right. Somebody's paying for it.
we
might
really
be paying more than our fair
with...
share or less than our fair share. Yeah.
It's interesting comparing our internal to the kind of joined experience in the village, though, because at the meetings, those kind of, electricity meetings, not so much that one, but, the overarching OC1 has a really different kind of dynamic, a group dynamic. We're respectful, we don't speak over each other, we know how to move towards a decision, and there's just no kind of self-discipline within those groups, and kind of power contingents that just say no and it doesn't go forward, like they've got no way to actually go forward a lot of the time. So I think it's actually very difficult for some of the other developments within the village to make decisions, because they don't feel like there's a process. And a couple have come to us to say, how do you make decisions, and sat in on a meeting, we're like, oh my god, this is amazing, And it really is quite amazing. But yeah, it, unless you kind of can all commit to a process, it's, you can't sometimes make a decision.
Do the other buildings have as many communal spaces as you have here?
No,
you'd know that well.
Yes, the typical Nightingale village has a shared laundry. That's number one, and that was originally done to reduce costs of building apartments. Yeah, costs and size. That's right. And they were designed so that there would be some communication. Some occasional bumping in on that journey to, you know, the laundry was usually up the top. And I think recently a few others have shared, have guest rooms. But they're usually the only common spaces. And, of course, roofs.
One has got a common space, I think, haven't they? Is it courtyard or something? Somebody's got some kind of common space.
They certainly have on the roof. There are some barbecue areas, etc.
But not a kitchen?
Not a kitchen.
No, not a kitchen.
And we were able to achieve this thanks to all of the amazing work between the Urban Coop, a few incredible people from the Urban Coop and Nightingale working extremely well and closely together, and some assisted investment to create this. It didn't come out of nowhere, and it needed some cold hard cash.
That's really good. So this one's a standout.
Oh yes,
it is. Yeah.
And Jeremy McLeod, who's the instigator of Nightingale, I think he was inspired by the first one, the Commons, and the way people met and started becoming a community in the laundry there, and then.
He designed the Commons.
Yeah.
But he wasn't able to get construction finance to take it forward because he was just a couple of architects with a bit of their superannuation. And it was a weird design. There was no car parking and no laundries and what? We can't lend to you. So he had to sell the project on to a B corporation who was able to get the finance to get the Commons built. But once it was built and when everybody moved in, Jeremy included, it was up and running. Nightingale was up and running. It was just beautiful.
And then what I was going to say was his experience of what a community coming together. I think then, I can't remember how we found out about him, but he realised that we had that sort of community feel behind us and we were all, you know, there was enough people ready to go, so it kind of worked. We were very delayed in the actual building because he said he was going to find the land and we had to accept whatever land they had. They found it, and then the owner who was going to buy off of that, there was all sorts of delays there, and then there was COVID, you know, so everything was delayed by probably two and a half, 3 years, I think, from when we might have been able to be here for the building, but we had hiccups. Yes. Oh, I don't know if it was a hiccup. It was more
COVID
than that.
COVID has a lot to answer for, hasn't it? But also,
well, the original hold-up wasn't COVID. It was George.
Our design was collaborative. Like, the architects involved us at least half a dozen points, whether it was about apartments and shared spaces and I can't remember the other themes, but we got together as a group and workshopped, kind of had a survey, and they bring us our responses and kind of work with us to receive our feedback and go back. And, you know, sometimes we were pretty harsh on them. I felt like we were pretty cruel sometimes. But it was a collaborative design process that on parts of the building, and that was, and we started with a design brief. And we also, as Bron was saying, we all put in $60,000 each to site unknown, design unknown. So there was a big leap of faith there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the magic triad of co-housing is money, people, land. And it's actually really, really difficult to make that triad land together. Mm-hmm. So we learnt that, you know, we weren't quick enough for the open market. So you know, this was a way of us saying we do have skin in the game. You know, here's our money. We trust you to shop, and you know what we want. So, yeah, and Nightingale really did deliver for us.
Well, you've got a lovely place here. I think it's really is wonderful.
Well, it's lovely to have you here.
There's been some very hard work gone into it, but it's paid off.
It has. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much, all of you. I think people will be really interested in this.
Lovely. Thank you. Thanks for being here.